This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. We will be going around the NFC South, checking in on all the teams in the Saints division, starting off with the Atlanta Falcons first off, and helping us out, D. Orlando Ledbetter and Learner Journal Constitution Falcons beat writer joining us now. D, always appreciate the time. How you been doing, man?
Hey, been doing pretty good. Pretty busy last couple of days, but hey, that's the fun part of the offseason.
Yeah, the offseason's still cranking out, and like you said, everyone's still up those sleepless nights, it seems, especially with free agency. All kinds of news has been breaking at all kinds of hours. Looking at the Falcons right now, still a question, I feel like, with the quarterback situation. We know they want to have Michael Penix as the starter for next season, but will Kirk Cousins still be around to be the backup? He's still on the roster right now. Is that going to remain the case?
No, it's not. It's just a matter of when they're going to do it, how long they got to bluff, as him as being the backup quarterback, or do they pay the $10 million, keep him for some more weeks, and try to drive up the price on Cleveland or somebody that might be interested. But they could just cut him and move on. But that would happen before this Monday. But they said, no, he's our backup quarterback. We already paid the money. We need the service.
Yeah, just curious, like, what will Cousins' reaction be to being the backup? I guess if he's getting paid, he's not going to mind what happens?
No, he wants out. He reportedly met with the owner last Wednesday before he went to the White House to meet with the president. And so he told him that he would like to go to a team that where he could start. But the Falcons' position is, hey, we paid you $90 million. We're going to, ask you to stay here and be our backup quarterback. As we go through this first year with the rookie, and next year you might be free to go, but that's an awkward position. Coach Tomlin says, you don't want hostages, you want volunteers. and they're trying to make him a hostage, it looks like.
Looking at what the Falcons have been doing so far in free agency, I guess for you, what's been the most significant additions and maybe some of the subtractions that have left?
Yeah, biggest addition has been Leonard Floyd, 65.5, 32. But, hey, the Falcons haven't had a pass rusher in quite a while. Pretty big ass. Keeping Jake Matthews was big. They kept Mike Hughes. The biggest losses were, of course, Grady Jarrett, two-time Pro Bowler, and then the center, Drew Dahlman, both going to the Bears. So, the Falcons are losing some, and keeping some of the main people that they want to hold on to.
What's been the whole vibe around the GM over there with Terry Fontenot and his, quest to build this team into that playoff contender? They've been close, but so far, missing out for the Atlanta Falcons, and just curious of what the, I guess, tenure for Terry Fontenot can be. Is he on a short lease going into this year?
Probably, you know, because the drafts haven't been that good. Today, when Richie Grant signed with the 49ers, that left him only one player from that nine-member class, his first draft class, Kyle Pitts is the only one left.
Right.
And, they've been real frank about him being real inconsistent. So, the drafts haven't been up to par. The three agent signings have, Caden Ellis, David Oyemata, just to name a few, Jesse Bates. That was kind of what we thought. He was a pro personnel guy. And, now they got some new people in the college department. Maybe that'll help them with the drafts and so forth. So, but the big thing is, hey, if he's got – one of my guys in at the combine said, hey, if he's got the quarterback, he's going to be great for a while. So if Michael Penix can play and turn this thing around, Terry will be on super solid ground.
Looking at this Falcons roster, obviously things aren't set yet. As we know, we're just getting into free agency. But looking ahead to the NFL draft, what would you say are the biggest needs for this team going into the draft coming up soon?
Yeah, they got to go edge rusher, defensive tackle. They could use another cornerback. They let their nickelback go. So, definitely on the defensive side of the ball. And we saw where the Falcons did not even interview any offensive players. So, they're definitely thinking all defense here in this draft.
What were some of, I guess you would say, the pleasant surprises from this team last year that they're looking to build on going into this next season, trying to contend for that NFC South title? It seems like everybody is kind of in the same boat right now in this division.
Yeah, no doubt. Drake London was able to get 1,000 yards. John Robinson, they were able to put more on his plate. Penix was able to play. And Darnell Mooney was quite a surprise at near 1,000 yards receiving last year, along with Ray McCloud. So you got offensive weapons. You saw them move the ball at times, but the defense kind of broke down over the course of the season. So, certainly you got the offensive weaponry to maybe compete, but how they rebuild and reconfigure that defense is going to be key for the Atlanta Falcons.
D, definitely appreciate your time always. Thanks so much, and be talking to you soon as we get ready for the NFL draft coming up.
All right. Thank you so much. You all take care. Have a great evening.
Appreciate you, D.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Taking a look now at the LSU scoreboard, Tigers have a 7-0 lead over Xavier right now. You can hear that game on our sister station, the Bet 92.9 FM, 1350 AM, also streaming on the Odyssey app. You just have to look up the Bet New Orleans on the Odyssey app to catch the feed there. I know sometimes folks don't know exactly where to go when we say on the Odyssey app, but yeah, just type in the Bet New Orleans and you can find the stream for the LSU game against Xavier. The Tigers getting ready for conference play coming up into the weekend against Missouri, hosting them at Alec Box Stadium. Definitely looking forward to seeing a Tiger versus Tiger action coming up shortly for them. The Pelicans in action right now in the Smoothie King Center. They are taking on the LA Clippers. Looking at that scoreboard for that matchup, we have the Pels up 15-7 right now. 7 minutes left in the first over there. Let me check out the box score here on the Pellies. I know we're having some issues with the AM feed right now, so trying to give you an update of what's going on at the game. We've got Bruce Brown leading the way, getting the start, too, with this team this game. He's got 8 points for the Pels. Zion Williamson has 4 points, an assist, in 5 minutes of action so far, and also C.J. McCollum adding 3 points there. So Pelicans up 15-7 currently over the L.A. Clippers. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll continue our trip around the NFC South, checking in with the Carolina Panthers. Des Johnson, host of the Believe in Panthers podcast, will join us right after this, so stay tuned on WWL.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Checking out on the college baseball scoreboard for LSU. They are up 7-0 over Xavier right now in the bottom of the second inning. And meanwhile, checking over on the Pelicans game, taking on the LA Clippers in the Smoothie King Center. Pelly's up 24-15 over the Clippers. Bruce Brown's coming out having a big game, played 8 minutes so far, has scored 10 points for the Pels. He leads them right now. Zion Williamson has 4 points, C.J. McCollum 6, and Eve Missy has added another 4 points there. Pelly's up 24-15, about 3 minutes left in the first quarter. You can hear the action on the big 870 AM. We're continuing our trip around the NFC South. Going to check in now with the Carolina Panthers. For that, we welcome in one of our favorites, Dez Johnson, host of the Believe in Panthers podcast. Dez, I know times have been busy. How you doing right now?
Hey, guys. How's everything going? Doing really good. Excited about what Dan Morgan's been cooking up the past couple of days and ready to just get after it.
Yeah, definitely have seen the Panthers have definitely been busy keeping a lot of their own guys. But, man, some incoming new guys on the defensive side of the ball for sure, beefing up that Panthers D.
Yeah, and much needed, too. You know, of course, the Panthers gave up the most yards, I think, in NFL history as an overall defensive unit last year. A lot of that on the running side of the ball. I think the last 5 or 6 teams we played against all amassed 200 yards of rushing each in those games against us. Yeah, so it was a very big area that they needed to cover. And Dan Morgan, general manager Dan Morgan, went into free agency, and they knew what to address. They knew the assignment and went in and picked up a lot of guys that I think will end up helping out. Try to get some big swings a couple of times and basically got outbid by teams coming in right behind them. But in the end, I think it's actually going to work out better depth-wise for the Panthers for what they got in exchange.
Yeah, looking at one of the big names, Tershawn Wharton, former Kansas City Chief at defensive tackle. No, it's a 3-year, $54 million for him. Definitely, you know, need that space eater up front, and we've seen that here in New Orleans. Just the inability to stop the run was a huge issue last year for both the Saints and the Panthers, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and he'll probably end up as a defensive end, probably opposite of Derrick Brown. He'll be coming back, of course, from injury. He suffered a season-ending injury early in the year, so getting Derrick Brown back, Pro Bowler, and probably one of the two, three best players on the Panthers roster under the age of 24, that's like getting a first-round pick, you know, extra this year. So he'll be he'll be opposite of Derrick Brown. Wharton's more of a pass rusher. You know, he had 6.5 sacks last year. He's fairly young, mid-20s, so it's just another piece. Ejiro Ibarro, the defensive coordinator, he likes to rotate that entire defensive line. So regardless if it's Derrick Brown or whoever, you know, on that line, there's six or seven guys that he just kind of rotate in the entire time in that 3-4 scheme. So Wharton, a good piece. Glad they got him after they thought they had Milton Williams. And then, of course, what happened, the Patriots coming in behind and offering them a lot of more money. So...
Yeah, Carolina able to keep their own, locking up one of their defensive foundation pieces in J.C. Horn. He's had some injury history. Well, what are you thinking about this deal? You know, $100 million over 4 years extension and $70 million of that guarantee, making him the highest paid DB in NFL history.
He's one of the foundations of the defense they're building. Him, Derrick Brown. Those two guys are leaders in the locker room too. So it was really important. You know, Dan Morgan, when he got hired, one of the things that he mentioned, even in his opening press conference, that he wanted guys that kind of resembled the Panthers that he played with, in the ones that he, you know, scouted before, like a certain kind of dog type of guy. J.C. Horn is a dog. He's a guy that's going to be out there in the front of the lines and, basically leading the defense going forward. Now, of course, with JC, his injury history was a concern, but he played 15 games last year and made the Pro Bowl. So if he can stay on the field, he, in my opinion, he's a top five cornerback in the league. So it's a great deal for the Panthers to get ahead of the market and sign him now instead of letting him play again, you know, next year without a deal and probably having to pay him an extra, you know, $25 million more than what they ended up paying him yesterday.
A guy who just never worked out for the Panthers was released. Miles Sanders, the running back. We'll see where he ends up coming up next. But things just never seem to get on track for him in Carolina.
Yeah, and a lot of it, you know, it's not really his fault when you think about how many coaches were, you know, he played underneath, including interim coaches, you know, in the, what, 2 years that he was here. Plus injury, a lot of people don't know, but he was hurt at the very beginning of the year last year in preseason. I think he had a hip injury or something, or groin or something like that. And you guys know, especially as a running back, you get hurt in August or September, you're not going to be 100% the whole rest of the year. So even with an improved offensive line and really the emergence of Chuba Hubbard kind of pushed Miles further and further to the back of the line. And it was just a matter of time. This will be a cap savings for the Panthers, you know, releasing him. And it opens the door for potentially, you know, the Panthers now going into the draft addressing that issue. Who knows? Maybe they go after another running back like they did last year, trading up to the second round to pick the running back from Texas that got injured and won't be available the entirety of next year. So maybe they're showing their hand a little bit there.
Desmond, looking a little bit ahead, about a month and a half to the NFL draft. The Saints are picking at number 9 overall, Panthers at number 8. You know, I just want to get your thoughts on what you think Carolina could do with that first round pick, because the Saints are sitting right behind them, and, you know, we'll see if they can snipe a potential prospect.
That's a good question, because, you know, the thing I love the most that they move free agency ahead of the draft is that, you know, before, free agency was after the draft. So a lot of times you had teams reaching, like, cause you know, they didn't know what they were going to do, you know, before that point. With free agency, you can fill in a lot of holes before you even get to the draft. So a lot of teams, especially in the top 10, they can just go best player available at that point from what they've already done in free agency a couple of weeks prior. With the Panthers, the 8th pick, looking at what they just did in free agency, I don't believe they're going to use it, you know, on a defensive lineman, you know, after what they just did. I don't think they'll go after anybody in the secondary, because they also re-signed Mike Jackson as well, the opposite cornerback to, you know, who we spoke about before. But I would say if you're in the top 10, and of course for New Orleans as well, I'm a kind of a firm believer in the way teams are built nowadays. If you have a top 10 overall draft pick, you probably need to look at whoever the best offensive player is on the board at that point when it comes to you. You know, regardless of whoever it is above you, I think the Saints will probably more than likely use it on some sort of offensive player, because those guys are those 10 right there at the very beginning of the draft. Those are probably the special guys in the draft. Unless now, of course, if you have like a defensive end or somebody that's like a generational talent and it falls to you, then yeah, absolutely. But I don't know if there's somebody specific that the Panthers are really honing in on at 8 because of need. At this point, I think they can go shopping a little bit and find some help for Bryce Young. And who knows, maybe they double dip and get another wide receiver. I prefer them to trade the pick down and get more picks and get more depth. But we'll see what Dan decides to do once the draft happens. And who knows, maybe your Saints want to move up a spot. Maybe a quarterback falls, or, you know, who knows what can happen. But that's interesting with them picking back-to-back like that.
Looking at the year one last season under Dave Canales, just curious your thoughts on how it went. Obviously, a five-win season is not what anybody's looking for. There were some moments in there, and at least we saw some growth out of the young quarterback in Bryce Young, where he seemed kind of lost at first early on. But when he came back after getting benched, it really felt like he was putting things together. And just curious how this team is starting to rally.
Yeah, you know, the season was really weird in terms of the quarterback carousel that we had. And to be honest, if it wasn't for Andy Dalton getting in that car for that, you know, midseason, Bryce Young might still be on the bench. You know, Dave Canales really wasn't sold on him. Even the first three or four starts, he was back and playing better. It was really only after Bryce had strung together about 5 or 6 weeks of looking just like a different player, and they started to win, you know, and they were competitive in games. They were competitive against both the teams in the Super Bowl. You know, a couple of months ago. And that made it where the front office had an easier decision to make now in free agency and in the draft, because now they feel like they can go behind Bryce starting next year, where, you know, back in October, we were all kind of thinking, man, we're going to have to go through all this all over again and find a quarterback after we just gave up so much for Bryce Young. And it's been flipped on its head, so it makes it a lot easier for Dan Morgan, knowing that Bryce is going to, well, we hope, be better right. when we get back in August and September, and that trajectory will continue to go upwards. We don't have a reason to believe it won't. Maybe now that there's stability at Carolina, really, for the first time, guys, that I've been hosting the Believe in Panthers podcast since 2020. I've yet to have a winning season as host of Believe in Panthers. So this is going on season, I think, 5. So it's been like 5 years straight of just every offseason, a new GM or right. a new coach or a new quarterback or every single offseason. Rather, the first offseason that the Panthers hadn't had anything like that. They're going into it with the same head coach, same GM, and same starting quarterback for the first time in like 5 years. So it's the little things. It's the little things that I'll take right now.
Desmond, you mentioned the J.C. Horn extension, but also another big addition in the secondary, Trevon Merrig, coming over from the Raiders, a 3-year, $51 million deal. I feel like safety was definitely a need on the back end of that defense. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you can do drafts and all these mock drafts and everything like that, but you also have to look and see what the team does in free agency, and that was a big pickup.
Yeah, I think it was telling that they were able to land him. They were also after Javon Holland and, you know, being able to land Mooring, who was a top five, really one of the top free agent safeties in the whole class this year, was Mooring. For them to land him from the play strong safety and be able to come down in the box and help with the run game, which we mentioned before, you know, teams were running down the back of the Panthers defense really the second half of the season once their injuries started to pile up. Mooring had last year with the Raiders, he had over 100 tackles coming down as a safety. So, you know, he was able to be able to help with the run game considerably, and that's exactly what Carolina did. Everything they did really was to help the run game. And Ivero, the defense coordinator, who really didn't really get a lot of help last year except for, you know, a couple of vets here and there. They really focused on trying to help Bryce Young in the offensive line. But like this year, they've decided to do the same thing in reverse. Every major signing they had was all defensive line or secondary, like all of them. So no offensive free agents picked up at this point that I'm aware of from Carolina. So they came in with a purpose to fix the defense, and Mooring was a huge pickup for them. He's only 25. Xavier Woods, the safety he's replacing, will be 30 before the season begins. So great pickup from Dan Morgan grabbing Mooring from Las Vegas.
Dez, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for sharing some knowledge with us about the Panthers.
All right, guys, you got it. Anytime.
Desmond Johnson, host of the Believe in Panthers podcast, joining us there. You can listen to his great work on the Believe on Podcast Network. Charlie, a little bit of good news. Earlier saw Rod Walker had tweeted out of NOLA.com. Eve Missy was headed to the locker room limping. Just tweeted out, though, that Eve Missy has returned to the bench. So, obviously, the severity of the injury, not too serious there.
Phew.
Yeah, exactly.
I cannot.
Don't want to hear anybody limping to the locker room.
No, that is the worst in the world. So, good news on Eve. Hopefully it's nothing serious, and hopefully he gets back in the game.
Pelicans, 9 minutes left till halftime, up 41-23 over the Clippers. You can hear that over on 870 AM. Taking a break, and our trip around the NFC South continues right after this with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Coming right back with more on 105.3 FM WWL. Welcome back here on Sports Talk. Steve Geller with Charlie Long. Welcoming in now J.C. Allen to our trip around the NFC South. We close things out with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. J.C.'s the Tampa Bay reporter for Bucs Game Day, also hosts of the Sick Podcast Pirate Parlay. JC, appreciate the time. How you been doing, man?
I've actually been doing great. I just went on the Bucks cruise with a bunch of players and legends and current guys, and I just finished up coaching my son's football practice, so we're doing great.
Awesome. Glad to hear things are going well by you. And, man, I got to say, one of the more impressive signings I've seen this offseason right now, Chris Godwin, you know, agreeing to that 3-year deal with the Buccaneers and a very team-friendly contract.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, this is with the writing on the wall. Anyone who's really kind of followed Chris's career closely with the Bucs knows that, you know, it's not just about the money. It's never been about the money. He loves Tampa. He's established himself down here. He's got a charity down here. Him and his wife just had a baby down here. It's kind of funny. A couple of years ago, his wife was doing like an AMA on Ask Me Anything on Twitter or Instagram. And one of them asked if they ever moved to a colder climate. And she was like, we're never leaving. So the tea was on, you know, the tea leaves were there that, you know, it was going to come down to what it was going to cost. And obviously him coming back from, you know, trying to work his way back from another injury after having a season-ending injury already kind of put some barriers there in the beginning, kind of what's the worth. And then obviously he got to free agency, and there were plenty of suitors, or the NFL tampering period part of it, including the Patriots, who were about to offer him $20 to $30 million more. And, you know, I figured he'd stay, take a team discount. You saw Baker did it. You saw Mike did it. You know, Tristan and Antoine Winfield didn't do it, but they're all pros, so it makes a little bit sense. But, yeah, it is a great deal for the Buccaneers. Gives them a lot of flexibility and, you know, gives them a chance to have another one of their guys like Levante, Will Golston, Mike Evans, you know, finish their career as a Buccaneer.
I'm glad you mentioned Levante. That's where I wanted to go next. The one-year, $10 million extension for the ageless wonder heading into year 14 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And just what he accomplished this past season, played all 17 games, 122 tackles, 5.5 sacks, which at the ripe age of 35 is the second most he's ever had in a single season. Mm. That had to be a priority, bringing him back for another season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the Buccaneers, when they go through their draft evaluation, they've got a dark silhouette of a player. And the words next to it are, I am that man. And above it are all the qualities that they look for: leadership, the intangibles, the pursuit of greatness, the humility, the humbleness, all those things that make, obviously the talent, right? That's first worth. But all those attributes that make up Levante David. And that's who they model their whole draft process after, is finding, always looking for the next Levante David. And I think they've done pretty well in the last couple of drafts finding guys who fit that mold. And having him back, it just does so much because he's the heart and soul of that defense. He sets a tempo on that team. He doesn't need to talk, but just the way he leads speaks volumes. And having him back, he took some time to think about it. He wasn't the same player he's been in coverage in the past. They did utilize him in the pass rush, as you mentioned, a lot more, and try to get other people into those roles or help in those roles. But he's still a dominant. If you think Levante David has slowed down to the point where he can't be an effective and above average starter, just go back into the playoffs where he chased down Jaden Daniels and dropped him at the line of scrimmage. That will tell you everything you need to know about Levante David and his ability to play at a high level at this age.
Another potential scary addition to this Bucs squad, too. I know Saints fans aren't going to be happy about the Hassan Reddick addition to this pass rusher. Just what are the Bucs expecting out of him? I know it was really an off year, odd for him with that holdout, and didn't really come back and wasn't the same player a year ago. But I'm sure going into this year, what was it, a one-year, $14 million deal getting from the Bucs?
Yeah, $12 million guaranteed. He's peed off, I'll tell you that much right now, about how everything he thought he did everything right with the Eagles, obviously after having a successful time with the Carolina Panthers, and thought that he deserved a contract extension, and the Eagles didn't think so, and so they moved him to the Jets, and the Jets, you know, he thought that was going to happen with the Jets, and then they released one of their edge rushers and traded him, I think, to the Broncos or something, and his responsibilities got even bigger on the team, and so he held out. But he's extremely upset with the way last season played out for him, especially after seeing the numbers of this year, some of the money these guys are getting who are less proven. I mean, he has had double-digit sacks the last 4 years outside of last year. And he's reuniting with Larry Foote, who coached him in Dallas, I mean, in Arizona, and, you know, is someone who knows how to get the most out of him. And he's really excited to get that reunion back. And, you know, he's also going to have someone like Yaya Diaby to play across from him, who Diaby was top 10 in the league in pressure win rate. Not in sacks, those took a hit, but there was really no one on the other side teams had to prepare for. So they were using a tight end to chip and a running back to chip, you know, and kind of slow down his pass rush plan. And team just knew, you know, we got to get the ball out quick. With Hassan Reddick on the other side, it opens things up on the defense. Not only for Todd Bowles to be more creative, because Hassan can also drop in coverage. He's capable of doing that and also, you know, playing the run. But he's one of these premier, if he's the same guy and can get back to that level, he's one of these premier elite edge rushers that can really dictate games, and it opens everything else up for everybody else. So it's a low risk, high reward, you know. You're paying a guy who's got production that speaks in the league to $14 million deal, only 12 of it's guaranteed, and if it works out, then they've got themselves in a good predicament. They're still going to add to it through the draft, I'm sure, but they've put themselves in a good scenario, so when the draft does come around, they're not pigeonholed into using that first round pick on an edge rusher.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to bring up with you, JC. I love talking about the draft now that kind of free agency is getting underway. Oh, yeah. And we kind of see how teams are starting to fill up their holes with those veteran players. But now that you've seen some of these players re-signed and then also Hassan Reddick brought in, you know, kind of what are your top needs for the Buccaneers in the 2025 draft? Because, you know, picking 19 overall, we've praised Jason Light endlessly on this show about the job that he's done in bringing in elite players through the draft. He does it seemingly every single year. Just want to get your thoughts on what kind of positional needs the Buccaneers have this upcoming season.
Yeah, well, they solved another big one in free agency by locking up Ben Bredesen, too, which looked at first at glance like a kind of a bigger deal than what was expected for him, $7.5 million. Then you saw the deal Aaron Banks got and Tim Moore and some of these other offensive linemen got, and it seemed really valuable for the Bucs at that point. So left guard's not going to be a need for them. They could still use a backup center, obviously, with Robert Hainsey moving over to the Jacksonville Jaguars, not really having a guy capable on the roster. And depth, swing tackle. I think that's on offense. You're probably looking at wide receiver 4, maybe an upgrade to tight end 2, a backup center, and maybe a swing tackle and a backup guard. You can kind of look at those. But on offense, you don't have any high-pressing needs for starters, because they're bringing all the starters back. So it's going to be the defensive side where their majority of the picks can go. And, you know, in the first round, I wouldn't rule out linebacker like Jahan Campbell. I wouldn't rule out an edge rusher still like a Donovan Aruzuwike from Boston College, or James Pierce Jr. From Tennessee or something like that. They could also go for cornerback or safety, Malachi Starks, Jahdae Brown, Shannon Ravel. Any one of those guys would be good fits as well for them. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because they set themselves up where they can kind of go BPA and take one of those guys and maybe come back in the second or third round. Guys like Chris Paul, Jeffrey Bosa, Carson Schwechtlinger at linebacker. If they don't go with a Campbell in the first round, they can really kind of set themselves up the way they want throughout the draft and the board. Backup defensive tackle, line. You know, they've got starters penciled in everywhere. It's about getting better and building quality depth, because that's what killed the Bucs defense last year, was they didn't have the quality depth behind the starters. So when the starters went down, you're playing practice squad guys, you're playing college free, undrafted free agents, guys who are seventh-round picks at cornerback and at linebacker, and it really kind of hurt and hindered this team. So getting quality depth and backup players that can step in and maybe not go from like your A player to your D player, but now you're going from an A to a C or an A to hopefully a B player coming in. So those are going to be the majority of what they focus on in the draft is that cornerback room, safety room, edge, inside linebacker, defensive tackle. And if there's value on offense, that makes sense. And again, they're still going to address some of those needs throughout free agency. You know, that will kind of dictate the way they go. I wouldn't be surprised to see them entertain trading back from 19 as well if one of those premier guys aren't there and they want to accumulate some picks and kind of flood certain positions in the draft, double up on them to really build up that solid depth.
The South chasing those Buccaneers. Tampa Bay's won the division 4 consecutive seasons now. J.C. Allen, thanks so much for the time for joining us and breaking it all down.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. Always fun.
Thank you, man. J.C. Allen, Tampa Bay reporter for Bucs Game Day. Also host of the Sick Podcast, Pirate Parlay, joining us there, helping us break down those Buccaneers. Looking at the Pelicans action going on right now over on 870 AM if you want to hear. Man, oh, man, the Pellies putting it to the Clippers tonight, 57-38. There's about 3 minutes left till the half over there. Word is that Eves Missy injury, thankfully nothing serious.
Thank goodness. And great start. The Pelicans have had some really good starts in the last few games, but it's been the third quarter that's been really the major issue. However, you know, you're up 19 points right now against the Clippers. I mentioned the Clippers' road record is terrible.
Yeah.
And so the -7 was always a little bit confusing to me as far as the Clippers being 7-point favorites tonight. But this is a fantastic performance by the Pelicans, and hopefully they keep it up.
Also, good early start. The LSU baseball team, it is now 12-0 over Xavier in the bottom of the third inning, just one out, and the base is loaded for the Tigers. We'll have more of that action coming for you on an update right after this, so stay tuned on WWL after the break. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Well, how'd you like to see Heart in concert? WWL has your tickets. The legendary band is playing live in Baton Rouge June 18th at the Raising Cane's River Center. You can win tickets to an evening with Heart. All you got to do is go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win a pair of tickets. Celebrate the music of iconic rockers and a Nancy Wilson and Heart, courtesy of Live Nation and WWL. Going to the top of the hour, Pelicans are up over the LA Clippers 57-43, and the LSU Tigers up 13-0 over Xavier in the bottom of the third inning. Yes, the run rule is in effect this evening. We'll see how that one ends up shaping out, Charlie.
Can we get a 3-inning run rule? This is about to be 20-0 in a couple outs here, Steve.
Talk to you tomorrow, folks. Have a great one. We'll be getting ready for the LSU men's basketball tomorrow night, heading first game in the SEC tournament. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. Later, folks.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.